Acts 15. I mentioned last Wednesday, just when I first started looking at the book of Jude for Sunday morning, immediately got to thinking about, well, what about those believers in the church? Jude talks about the apostates, those who profess but do not possess. And as you maybe have already recognized, he says some pretty abrupt things about those who claim to be saved and are not. And pretty much gives them down the country. Is that all right? Is that too worldly? But that's what he does. And I thought, well, as much as he, I use the word attacks, those who are of the church and not saved, what about those who are saved? And I believe the Lord touched my heart to go to this situation where Paul and Barnabas are having an issue amongst themselves. And it isn't just their friendship, it's their ministry. That's what makes it so vitally important. Let's begin reading in verse 35. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from Pamphylia and went out with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Look last week at friends. Dealing with friends, fussing, and faithfulness. Friends, and tried to magnify the importance of friends. Nothing more of a treasure than having a good and godly friend. And the devil knows that, so he tries to fight it. And thus I mentioned this evening, this thought, fussing, contention. Paul and Silas were godly men. They loved the Lord. Each of them, both of them were saved. Both of them were spiritual. Both of them were serving. Both of them were faithful men of God. And yet between them, there came a contention. There came a disagreement. I want to look at a couple of things. Notice first, a similar desire. Notice in verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren. Do you hear in those words that love, that connection? He says, let us go. They're a team. They have served together. I was reminded as I reread through the book of Acts to study the history of these two men. They worked together quite often. And it did not matter, seemingly, which of the two took the lead of any particular ministry. If you look in places in the book of Acts, Barnabas will be mentioned first, which indicates he's the one leading. He's the one taking the initiative. He is the one in charge. Then there's other places where Paul is mentioned first, which indicates Paul is the one that's leading. He's the one that's in charge. And up to this point, it hasn't caused one problem whatsoever. In Acts 13:7, it says Barnabas and Saul, of course, Paul. Acts 13:13, it says Paul and his company. Acts 13:43, it says Paul and Barnabas. Acts 14:14, it's Barnabas and Paul. Acts 15:12, Barnabas and Paul. Acts 15:25, Barnabas and Paul. Again, it's Barnabas in one occasion and Paul in the other occasion that's taking the lead, the one that's in charge, the one that's more recognized and probably congratulated. And it seems as though there's no problem whatsoever. These were godly men with a desire to serve God and, more importantly, to please God. Paul, remember what he said, "For I wish that to myself were accursed from Christ." I know nobody, including me, who can say, "I would go to hell for my brethren." Paul said he would, and he meant it. That's the kind of man he was. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." That's the kind of man that he was. He says, "If me having a thorn and suffering miserably is what I need to have the touch of God, I bow to that. I rejoice over that, because the power of God meant more to him than his comfort." That's a man of God. Paul was that way, but so was Barnabas. In Acts 11:24, it said as Barnabas, he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Oh, my goodness. I would be glad if one of those things could be said about me. He said he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. That was Barnabas. He was a godly man. In Acts 4:37, Barnabas was one of the ones that sold his land and gave the proceeds to the cause of Christ. What a godly man he was. In Acts 9:27 says, "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles." Well, who in the world's to him? It was that man named Saul, who had just gotten saved, who would become Paul. And all the disciples were scared to death that this man is faking it. He's claiming to be a believer now, but he just wants to catch us off our guard where he can do like he has done so many others and put us in prison or worse, put us to death. But Barnabas believed God and what God said, and he went and took Paul and carried him to the apostles and said, "It's okay, fellas." I'm talking about these were two godly men. Here's my point. You have two men, and they have a similar desire. They want to please God. If we'll start there, if that will be our principle, if that will be our driving force as a Christian, or as a church member, or as a family member, things will be okay. If our desire is to please God, to serve Him, and to be faithful, no matter what we have to face with the circumstances or with people, we'll be able to make it through. I mentioned first a similar desire. Here's two men who have the same desire. But I mentioned number two, a subtle difference. They are not the same. They are alike in a lot of ways, but they're not alike. They are different men. Paul was an educated man. He was the Ivy League bunch. I mean, this man was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was the upper echelon of religious people. Barnabas, on the other hand, was a Levite, which was in the priesthood or had to work with the tabernacle or the temple. The temple, of course, in their day. So here were two men who were godly, loved God, wanted to serve God, willing to do God's will, but they are not the same people. There is a difference between them. But wait a minute. Welcome to life. We are different. None of you's like me yet. I hope you're on the way, but you're not there yet. And I hope you don't make it, by the way. We are different people, different desires, different tastes, different backgrounds, different directions that God is leading us. There is a difference. It's a subtle difference between these two men, but they were different. By the way, that's the way God designed it. We are not all hands in the body, or feet, or eyes, or ears, or mouths. We are different, designed different. We are unique. 1 Corinthians 12:18 says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. He put the hand on the arm. He put the foot on the leg. All these different members he has united together, but they are all different. None of them are the same. Even the left hand and the right hand, both hands, but they're different. Here are two men, and there's a subtle difference between them. They are not the same. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, dividing to every man severally as he will. It means specifically the person in the exact spot in the body he wants them. That's what the Holy Spirit does. 1 Corinthians 15:38, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him. He made us what we are. We are not what we need to be. I have not arrived at being the best Rick I can be, but I am Rick, and I ain't supposed to be a Bill or a Susie. I do know that. I ain't a Susie, thank the Lord. I may not be what I ought to be, but I sure am glad I ain't there yet. It ain't going there, by the way. In other words, here's two different men. And I thought about this. How much time do we spend trying to change people into what we are or what we think they should be? Now, I understand that every one of us should be spiritual, every one of us should pray, every one of us should read the Bible, every one of us should do right. There is a list of things that I could make, and so could you, that every one of us ought to abide what the Bible says. Those things are for every one of us. But I am Rick, and you are you. Designedly so. That's the way God made us. There's a subtle difference. But then at the next point, not only a similar desire, they have the same desire to please God, to do His will. And a subtle difference, they were unique, both of them. But I mentioned number three, a simple disagreement. Let's begin reading in verse 37. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But there's a important but in the Bible. Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, and being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God, and he went through Syria and Caesarea, confirming the churches. Here's a simple disagreement. Their division, their split, came from one disagreement. And to be honest, it wasn't a big one. They did not separate. They did not, here's the word, fuss over some major issue. That they were disagreeing on, we can find back in Acts 13:13, where on their first missionary journey, John Mark left and went back home. Deserted the ministry. We don't know why. We aren't told. I suppose it doesn't matter. He quit serving God, at least in that one area. So now it's time for them to embark on another missionary journey. And Paul says, we ain't taking them. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark. Let's give him another chance. Let's trust God that John Mark has learned his lesson. But Paul says, there's a simple disagreement. It is not a major issue. Could I remind you? Most of the fussing in Baptist churches are not over major issues. Most of the stuff, I guess I ought to say it, we fuss about is over things that really doesn't matter, not worth a hill of beans if you analyze it. A simple disagreement. Paul said, no, we ain't taking them. But it wasn't personal. Paul did not dislike John Mark. Paul questioned John Mark's readiness for the ministry again. Paul was a man of facts. Look at the facts as they are and analyze the situation and come to the conclusion. The bottom line, that was Paul. And Paul's analysis of the situation was, in a time when we needed him, we were serving the Lord at a time when we needed him, and he was doing a good job, the best I could tell. All of a sudden, he quit and left us and left the ministry behind. And Paul said, I'm not sure he's ready to try it again. That was Paul's way of looking at things. Remember, he is not against John Mark. He is not some immature, half-hearted, in and out. He's a devoted, spiritual, loving man of God. And his opinion was, his point of the situation was, I don't think he's ready. John Mark had failed, and Paul said, I'm afraid he'll fail again. And he had done damage the first time. When he failed, he had done damage. And Paul said, I just don't think he's ready. But on the other hand, Barnabas, let me mention this. Don't know how much it weighed Barnabas' decision, but John Mark was Barnabas' cousin. He was a member of the family. And there's a whole message on that probably. But I'll just be honest as I can be. I do not believe that's what weighed Barnabas' decision. Whether he was cousin, aunt, uncle, or whatever. I believe Barnabas was enough a man of God to say, I don't care if he's related to me or not. If he ain't ready, I ain't taking him. But here's what Barnabas believed. He believed what would later be written in Romans 6:1. If any man be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore such an one. And that's what Barnabas believed. And guess who wrote that, by the way? Paul did. And Paul believed it too. Paul believed in restoration. Paul believed in patience. Paul believed in restoring a fellow. It just felt like for some reason it just wasn't time. I'm talking about a simple disagreement. Paul said he's not ready. Barnabas said, I believe we need to trust God and let him go with us. So there's a subtle, simple disagreement. And I couldn't help but think about this. Some of the things that Baptists disagree on. I have a preacher. I think he's my friend. He lives in another state, so you probably couldn't guess who it was to save your life. But he believes if the preacher doesn't wear a white shirt, I mean, listen, he's almost like the Antichrist if he didn't wear a white shirt. If you'd ever go into his church with a pink shirt on, he'd probably make you leave. I may be a little bit exaggerating, but not much. And that's just his, I'm going to use the word opinion with all capital letters, because that sure ain't biblical, but that's what he believes. And that kind of thing, those little things that we nitpick about, does damage to the church. And that's why the Bible says in Jeremiah 23:1, woe be to the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep. He's saying, if you nitpick these little things to where it scatters the sheep, woe be to you. But by the way, if it's true of the shepherd, it's true of the sheep. So here's my point. There's a simple disagreement. And it could be something major. It can blow into something devastating. And that's my point. A lot of times the things that, cause church splits, divide the flock, rob a church of the glory of God and the power of God, keep lost people from getting saved because the Holy Spirit has been grieved, are things that really don't matter to a hill of beans. Not essential. Non-essentials ought to stay non-essential. If we use the word nitpick everything, we're going to do like Ernest C. and hermetize ourselves. Ain't nobody going to be like us. And that grieves God. Let me hurry up. This simple disagreement was about, do we take John Mark or we don't take John Mark? It was not about salvation. Now, there's a whole lot of non-essentials, a whole lot of things that do not really matter. They may be important, but they're not essential. Salvation is essential. And I promise you, if there's someone who denies salvation by grace through faith, it is time to separate. It is time to say, I love you, but I cannot associate with you. You will not come in our church, and surely you will not take a position and stand and do anything. That's an essential. That's not what they were disagreeing about. It was not salvation. It was not Scripture. It wasn't that they... John Mark, listen, Barnabas. John Mark don't believe the Bible. He don't believe the Word of God. He thinks it's a man-written book. He does not believe it's ordained. He does not believe it's inerrant. He does not believe it's inspired. If it had been that, they would have had to say, I love John Mark, but he ain't going with us. But that's not what they were fussing about. It was not essential. It wasn't about salvation. It wasn't about Scripture. It wasn't even about standards. It wasn't about convictions of how to dress right and look right and act right. It wasn't even about that. I believe with all my heart, standards are an essential in the Christian life. Maybe one of the less of the essentials, but here's my point. You've heard it before. Nothing new tonight. If we ever let down our standards, we will, along with that, begin to water the Word. I've seen it happen. I went to a church not long ago, Baptist church, independent church. I love the preacher. I know a few people that go there. And to be honest, in a lot of ways, it is a wonderful church. But they began to let their standards go. And I promise you, the Word will be watered. It always happens. That's why I harp about our standards around here. Because if you ever start letting them go down, it's not just our dress or our whatever, our appearance, but our convictions go down and our stand for the Word goes down. But it wasn't about that. It wasn't about convictions. It wasn't about standards. It was about, can we trust John Mark? It's a simple disagreement. And then lastly, I tried to mention a similar desire. They had the same desire. Oh, if we'll stay there, we want to please God. We want God's will. Oh, Lord, show us what you want in this situation. What's your will? We want you to be pleased. A similar desire, a subtle difference. They're different people, which... you expect differences of how to handle things and how they preach, and that's normal. And then a simple disagreement, it really wasn't a major thing. But then lastly, a satanic deception. And here's one thing that I believe that even though they parted, I believe these men avoided this. A satanic deception, I mean by that, the devil can make it look bigger than it is. He can make something little seem so big and so important that we might handle it wrongly. He makes it look worse than it is. I believe that Paul and Barnabas escaped this trap. But it does say in verse 39, contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus, and Paul took Silas. The contention was so sharp, it was a sharp argument. They discussed the matter quite fervently. I don't think that means they lost their top, but they had a different opinion. And like good preachers, they discussed the matter. And Paul took Silas and went one way, and Barnabas took John Mark and went the other. You know what? Let me just ask you now. I was going to wait till the very end. I want to ask you now. Who was right? Was Paul right? Was Barnabas right? I'll tell you what I find in the Bible. God bless both of them. And I believe with all my heart, the reason God could bless both groups was because they handled it rightly, even though there was sharp contention. And Paul said, I cannot back down on this. Barnabas, I'm sorry, but this is just the way I feel about it. And Barnabas says, Paul, I love you, but I'm telling you, I just think we ought to give John Mark a chance. What happens if we don't let him go? He may be defeated the rest of his life. They both had their own opinion, and they stood on their own opinion, but they still, here's the important thing, loved God and loved each other. Later on, I will tell you this, you probably know it. Paul writes and says, bring John Mark, he's profitable. Guess what? Old John Mark did good. He had matured. It may have been the fact that Barnabas trusted him and showed forth some faith on his behalf that encouraged John Mark to say, I'll tell you one thing, I'm not going to let him down again. I'm not, anybody trust me like that? I am not stopping again. I ain't going back home this time. I'm going to stand. We don't know what caused him to stand, but we know he stood. And what does all this mean? It means we're different, and we're meant to be different. And that means there's going to be differences. And that means there's going to be some disagreements that are at least possible to erupt. Have you ever heard the devil, when there's some friction and he reminds you of every bad thing that person ever said or ever did? You heard that voice, hadn't you? I know you have. I have too. You know what? The devil's a liar. He may tell the truth about those facts, but if we would listen, he could also tell us about ourselves and how we have failed and how we said things we shouldn't have said. And my point is this. Jude says, you stand. And we're supposed to stand. But we're supposed to love each other. And watch out for the devil. There's a whole lot of fussing going on in the Baptist realm. I hope not so much here. And I'll be honest, as I've studied this message, and again, I've been putting down thoughts for several months, honestly. I hope they don't think I'm jumping down their throat for something I know, because I don't know anything really that matters to a hill of beans. But I know this, I know the devil. And I'll go back to this, I'll ask you again, who was right, Paul or Barnabas? And I think the answer may be yes, both of them was right. I'll tell you this, I do think this, I think this makes the difference. They handled it probably as good as it could be handled under the circumstances. And God bless both. It did not end there, listen to me, their friendship, and it did not end their ministry. So no doubt God took care of it. And the next time I'll deal with faithfulness, it'll be a little easier to take.